Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is God that restrictive?
How many here believe in the straight and narrow way? You ever get tired of that? Ever walk down the railroad track? Anybody here walk down a railroad track? Can you do it? Sober or drunk? Either one. I've been sober as I've ever been, but I couldn't stay on that track only about 3 yards and I was off. I don't know whether it's my avoirdupois that isn't balanced or I'm unbalanced, but that's beside the point. It's hard to walk the straight and narrow, isn't it? And the devil wants you to know that it's hard, and the devil wants you to feel that it's hard, and the devil wants you to say, oh, why did God restrict me this way? Do you ever feel like that the boundaries are just a little tighter than you'd like for them to be? When the elder comes to you and says, I've noticed this in your life, you aren't really as narrow as you ought to be. You say, well, what's that his business? What's he talking to me about that for? He's got some things in his life I could tell him about. And oh, the devil grins from ear to ear, doesn't he? What was the devil doing? Slandering God, because the scripture says, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Do you believe that? Do you believe that everything God says no to for you is for your good? Not at the moment, I don't sometimes. Not at the moment I think, well, it won't hurt just this once. And the devil jumps with glee. Here's the first instance. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is he really restricting you that way? Fourth verse, you shall not surely die. That's not the truth. He's just kidding. You're not going to die. I know lots of people that sinned and didn't die. I know lots of people that got by with it. Did they? Do you have things in your life? Do I have things in my life that I kid myself into thinking that I'm getting by with God with those things? Maybe nobody knows them but me. A lady asked me just last week, what if I commit a sin and nobody knows it but me? What do I do about it? I said, it's between you and God. If you can live with it, you're going to have a hard time being a Christian. It's just between you and God. How many of us have little things in our life that we don't want anybody else to know about? And nobody else does know about it but us and God. But we think God won't punish me, not Marvin Ingle. He knows who I am, doesn't he? Surely he's heard about me. He probably has. But one of the things that the devil used here in slandering God was that he doesn't tell the truth. First, he restricts you. He makes it so narrow you can't do it. And now he doesn't tell the truth. Because he knows, notice here, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, you see, he knows. Don't kid yourself. He knows what he's doing. He's got you under his thumb, and that's where he wants to keep you. God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Were they opened? The devil didn't lie then, did he? No, he didn't lie. They were open. He just told a half-truth. He didn't tell them that they wouldn't like what they saw. What's that? When a person gets on the radio and says, all you need to do is accept Jesus Christ into your life. Is that true? Sure it's true. If you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you'd do what he said to do, wouldn't you? So he's true, but he only told you a half-truth. Same technique. And ye shall be as God. How many here want to be as God? Anybody here want to be as God? You mean none of you want to go to heaven? Now come on. Who am I talking to? How many want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, you want to be as God, don't you? You want God to take away all these old things in your life that don't amount to anything, all your misjudgments, everything, give you a pure and clean and spiritual life, don't you? That's what you're after. That's God's life. You want to be God too, don't you? Don't think the devil doesn't know that. Nothing pleases the devil more than me wanting to be God here. That's the problem. I want to be God, like God. I want to be a part of God, like Rick was talking about. I want to be as close to God as Jesus is. But it'll never happen here, will it? Can I wait, do you suppose? That's another technique of the devil. We get impatient. This often happens to people who become Christians. That's why they become Christians 1 year and 5 years later you can't find them. They were convinced they wanted to be like God when they became a Christian. But they lost that conviction somewhere along the way, didn't they? Because the devil slandered God to them. The devil somehow convinced them, look, this isn't really worth the effort. Look, this isn't really worth what I have to give up. Look, there's so many hypocrites in the church that I don't want to be a part of it. And they fall by the wayside, don't they? Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see, he imputes falsehood to God, doesn't he? The devil does. He says he's lying. You're not going to die. Did they die? In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Did they die?
Yes. Not right then, but they did.
Oh, he was lying then, wasn't he?
Spiritually, they died.
Yes. Was God lying?
No.
How come they didn't die the same day?
They did. They were separated from God.
All right, they were separated from God. They died spiritually, didn't they? Did they die physically? Yeah, in their day they died physically, didn't they? In their day. So God didn't lie after all. God knows that. But do you and I know it? Do you and I know it when the devil comes up to us and tries to tell us, well, now God, he's just interested in keeping you on a straight and narrow way. He really doesn't mean what he says. You're never going to get what he's promised. Are you going to believe that? How often we see this in older people, and the reason I mention this is because I'm getting older. You see that gray hair they talked about Sunday. I don't care whether they talk about it or they don't talk about it. It doesn't matter. But, you know, it often happens in older people. They try to work hard for God all their life, and then when they get old, they get bitter and crabby and become an offense to God instead of a blessing. And what a wonderful thing it is when we see someone who spent maybe 50 years in the church and they're still blessing God. God hasn't talked them out of anything. The devil hasn't talked them out of anything. They've decided to serve God until their last breath. And that's wonderful. Wonderful. There's another way the devil slanders. He slanders man to God. Go to Job, the first chapter, please.
Verse
Sixth verse. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Well, just put your name in there. Have you considered Tom? Have you considered Earl? Have you considered Flo? Don't think that doesn't happen. It does happen. If you are a servant of God, God says, "Do you know about my servant that I got just the other day? Or do you know about this servant I've had 20 years and he's been working his head off? He's the best servant I've got." Notice what God says. "There is not one like him in the earth." There's none like him. Do you think God brags about you like that? Well, to ask the question is to answer it, isn't it? That would be stupid for me to think that any of you thought that God bragged about you like he did Job. Would it? That's just what he wants you to think, that you don't amount to anything to God, isn't it? How many of you would raise your hand if I said, how many of you think that God brags to the devil about you? Would you raise your hand? Anybody here brave enough to raise his hand? Good. Good. We got one little child raising his hand, and God bless him, I bet that's right. He's right. God brags about him. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm glad that you have confidence that God knows you, and he tells the devil, "Have you seen my servant Job? There isn't any like him in all the earth." Why isn't he? Because he's perfect. Oh, he never made a mistake. No, that isn't what it means. It means when he made a mistake, he got rid of it as fast as he could. Just like you get rid of a hot potato if somebody throws it at you. One time we were guests in some people's home. She came and served us the meal on a plate. She had baked potatoes with the... Oh, I love these. If any of you ever invite me to your house, have baked potatoes. Ream them out, fluff it up, put cheese on top and bake it again, and I'll stay with you a week. That's what she had. Luscious, good, hot. Her husband cuts off a piece and puts it in his mouth without thinking. I know what he wanted to say, but I know what he didn't say. "Where have you had those potatoes?" That was the most controlled speech I have ever heard from a man. And she said, "In the oven, dear." In the oven. If we would do the same thing when we see sin in our life, if we'd get rid of it like he did that potato, he spit it out in his own plate, and that was embarrassing to him. Because this is the first time we were ever at his house. I was his son's teacher, and he wanted to impress me. He did. He did. I wish his son had been as well controlled as he was. Okay. "A perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." There's no question in my mind that most of us pass the middle test, fearing God. Although I don't think we're very scared of him sometimes. But we fail on the beginning and the end. Isn't that too bad? Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Are you a Christian for nothing? Someone once said, "You know, even if there wasn't a heaven or a hell, I'd still want to be a Christian because it's still the best way to live in the world." I'm asking you, suppose God just canceled out heaven, would you still want to be a Christian? Would you say, "I'll be a Christian anyway"?
Yes.
Suppose he canceled out hell, would you still say, "I'd be a Christian anyway"? It's worth it, isn't it? But he accused Job of being a Christian for financial gain, for the gain he got out of it. I wonder if that's why I'm a Christian. I asked a man one time why he joined the Methodist Church. He says, because all of my customers belong to the Methodist Church. Does that tell you anything? Do you belong to the Church of Christ because all of your friends belong to the Church of Christ? Is that why you're here? Do you belong to the Church of Christ because your grandpa did and your dad did and you do and probably your grandkids will? Is that why you belong? Can you tell me why you belong to the Church of Christ? Can you be bought off? What's your price? The devil says everybody's got a price. All I've got to do is find what you'll pay to get off. Have you ever been tested what you would pay to get off? Get off this train that's going to glory. What would somebody have to pay you to get off? They paid Judas 30 pieces of silver, but I know people who have been paid 30 cents and got off for less. Don't you? Did it ever happen to you? Could you see it in your own life? You know, it's awful easy for me to see it in Jerry's life. It's easy for me to see it in somebody else's life. But do I see it in Marvin's life? Do I see the devil saying, "Huh, Marvin, you're bought with a price, aren't you? And the price wasn't very high when I sell him down the river for 50 cents. When you meet a friend on the street and he says, "Are you a Christian?" Do you say, "Well, I try to be"? You just sold the Lord down the river, didn't you? The devil was right. You had a price, and it was pretty cheap. Pretty cheap. But we'll talk about this some more in another lesson. But I want you to know that God does know that you exist. God does brag about you to the devil when you do what's right. But he's terribly embarrassed when you do what's wrong. And you notice that the last thing that the devil did to slander a man to God was he hit him right in the middle of the belly. He hit him right where it hurt. He gave him boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And that's our final test, is when God starts to destroy our body. And we say, "Oh, God turned his back on me." No, he hasn't. We've turned our back on God. Thank you for your attention. We'll go from there tomorrow. Good morning. Can you pass the test that Moses said he couldn't pass? Moses said, "I'm slow of tongue and not eloquent in speech." I want to know if all of you can say, "Amen."
Amen.
Now let's hear it tonight like that when somebody offers a prayer. I heard about 12 amens last night to the prayer. In the Old Testament, no, there won't be any tonight, thank you for reminding me that I got a hole in my computer tape. Don't worry about it. When somebody prays, do you know what effect it has on them when 12 people say amen? I start a self-examination right quick. What's wrong with my prayer? In the Old Testament, God commanded, "And all the people shall say amen." But because some of our emotional brethren use that to wear it out, we don't use it to even reinforce one another. That's free. That isn't in the lesson. I'm not getting paid for this announcement and all that. All right? We're looking at Job again for just a moment. Because our thought yesterday was that the devil slanders God to man, that God really doesn't have our welfare at heart. He's just a big old man that follows us around waiting for us to make a mistake and he's going to clobber us. That's the devil slandering God to man. But the devil also slanders man to God. In other words, he misrepresents man to God. Notice in Job, the second chapter, The fourth verse, after the devil failed on Job in his first round, he tries it again. Satan answered the Lord in the fourth verse, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Isn't that true? I've seen people who own three farms and spend it all on trying to live another week. The devil knew what he was talking about. You and I will give all we've got for our life, won't we? Everything we possess, and sometimes even our soul. And that's what the devil is accusing Job of. You start to take his life away and see if he doesn't have a price on it. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. And the devil proceeded to make Job's life miserable. Miserable to the extent that you and I can't even comprehend. We know nothing about the misery that Job had. One boil is enough to send me into orbit. And Job had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Job not only had boils, he had a wife that didn't support him. Matter of fact, she says, I wish you'd just curse God and die and get it over with. That's real comforting to a man who's suffering. Then he had three friends to heckle him and said, you must have sinned terribly, or all of this wouldn't have come upon you. All of them, I believe, were sent by the devil to Job. So the devil accuses every believer before the Father saying, ha! If you did for me what you did for him, I'd serve you too. But you know, every true believer has refuted that claim before the devil. Every true believer has been able to stand up against the accusation of the devil before God. Look with me to Revelations, the 12th chapter, starting in the 9th verse. Revelation 12 and 9. The dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I want you to listen to the 11th verse if you don't listen to anything else. When you are tried by God with your possessions or with your life, remember these 3 points in the 11th verse. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Remember, Jesus died for you, and Jesus steps in whenever the devil accuses you before God. Jesus steps in and says, I know him, he's my friend, he's my brother. And don't you go any farther than I tell you to go. Jesus stops him in his own tracks when the devil accuses me before God, because I trust in the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, by the word of their testimony, he is stopped by the testimony of all who have gone before us, who stood the test that Job stood, who remained faithful to the death. And last of all, they loved not their own lives to the death. Here is the way to overcome the accusation of the devil. The slander of the devil in the presence of God about you. First of all, depend on God to help you. Put your faith in the blood of the Lamb that he cleansed you, whatever the devil accuses you of. If you repented of it, he cleansed you of that. Don't let him keep bringing it up to you. By the word of their testimony, others have proven that it can be done. Noah proved faithful in the face of a whole world who had gone wicked. So wicked that God says, I can't stomach them any longer. But he stomached Noah. Why? Because Noah always turned to God, didn't he? Always turned to God. Always repented. And so can you and I. And that's a testimony to us. Also, when we love not our own lives, even to the death. What is our life that we should hold on to it in the face of giving up our faith? Will you give up your faith just because you're going to die? Will you give up your faith because you have incurable cancer? Will you curse God and die? Die the death of the body and die the death of the spirit both? Look with me in the Hebrew letter, the 11th chapter. Paul reiterates the testimony of these who've gone before. God's testimony that those who don't love their life to the death can overcome the devil's accusation before God. 32nd verse. What shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. I am reminded in this one, this particular one, of a story that was written, supposedly based on truth, of the Romans fastening two virgin women to the horns of a bull. Two bulls, one on each bull. Naked, putting them in the arena to see the bulls fight and watch the women be crushed to death between the heads of two bulls. Would that make shake your faith? Would you say, I don't know Jesus, if they fastened you to the head of a bull? Would you have misgivings? That's what we're talking about. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world wasn't worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and in caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us might be made perfect. So the devil accuses us, but we have the ammunition. We have the defense that we need against that accusation. We don't need to give in. I don't care what the circumstance is. We don't need to give in if we remember the blood of the Lamb. If we remember that we don't love this life, we love the next life to come. If we remember that others have done it and we can do it too, may God give us the courage to do that. Our next topic we're going to be discussing are the three avenues through which the devil tempts us. 1 John 2 and 15. 1 John 2, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all things in the world, and here they are, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the